The Word of Prophecy Broadcast. In this hour of the world's greatest crisis, hear a unique revelation and message by Brother Ray Pringle, a man anointed to be a prophet of God. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight, as saith the prophet." And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
Welcome to Radio's Most Challenging Hour, the Word of Prophecy Broadcast, and I'm Brother Ray Pringle. And ladies and gentlemen, I truly do welcome you to a true prophetic message out of your Holy Bible, which is the Word of Almighty God. And I want to call your attention to this profound truth, that this is a free voice, and this is a ministry of restoration with God's true prophetic message, restoring the guideposts, the beacons, the landmarks that are revealed in your Holy Bible, which blind and deceitful preachers and teachers have destroyed. Jesus proclaimed in his lifetime, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, free from sin and its deadly consequences." And I pray the Lord will give you ears to hear this true prophetic message sent by Holy Ghost anointing. We continue the message today entitled, "Real Prayer with Fasting." I begin on a wonderful scripture in your Holy Bible, ladies and gentlemen, in 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, verses 13 and 14. Almighty God has said, "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send a pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray," shall humble themselves and pray, listen to that, "and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." Listen to that, the reward of real prayer. And usually it must be accompanied with fasting, because as our blessed Lord and Master said, Jesus Christ, when he was here on this earth, that mountain-moving faith doth not come except by prayer and fasting. Matthew 17 and verse 21. Well, Jesus, in his lifetime, he sure taught us to pray. One of the first things he ever did is found in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, the 6th chapter. His disciples asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray," like John taught his disciples to pray. And he began teaching them the prayer we call the Lord's Prayer: "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread," and so forth. That was a prayer we prayed in my school days. When I was in school, we had the Bible in every classroom on the teacher's desk. That black-bound book, like I'm holding here in my hand as I'm preparing this message today, it was found in the classrooms of America. You could find it in most any public place, any place like the courtrooms of America. It was in the Army. Everywhere you'd go, you'd find the Bible. When I was in the Army, a soldier, in World War II, well, I was a mess sergeant. And you know, we could pray on the holidays and on Sundays when I was on duty as a mess sergeant. It didn't matter if we was out in the field or we were in a mess hall. I would require the men to bow their heads, and I'd pray. And we'd ask the blessing and have a prayer. I guess now they'd put you in jail and lock the door and throw the key away if you'd mess sergeant would pull something like that. But we could pray in the Army. We could pray in the school. The teacher never had a Sunday school class. We never had church, but we prayed the Lord's Prayer. She read the Bible to us, and we were very patriotic and God-fearing. That Bible sure made a difference in even the recitation of the Lord's Prayer. Well, the Bible teaches us to pray. Jesus said in Luke 18 and verse 1 that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And of course, that means not to be faint-hearted. If you're a real praying person, a real Christian that prays faithfully and consistently, you won't be faint-hearted, you won't be fearful, and you won't be double-minded. There's scriptures in the Bible that warns us about this double-mindedness and fearfulness and faint-heartedness. Like the scripture in the book of James in your New Testament, the first chapter beginning in verse 5, said, if you ask of God, said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Asking, well, that's praying. If you're going to pray, you must ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Well, the way you can overcome that is by being consistent in your prayer life. Well, I know there's a plaque I noticed here recently said our prayers don't change God, they change us. Well, I don't think we want to change God. God already knows what he's going to do. And you know what he knows? He knows what we're going to do. Even before we ask him, he knows what we need. He knows what's going to happen to us tomorrow, next year, 50 years from now, or whenever. He knows all about us, ladies and gentlemen. But he wants us to pray that we'll be changed, that we will submit to the will of God for our lives. But we must get sin out of our life. The scripture says in Proverbs 29 or 28 and verse 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the word of God, his prayer shall be an abomination. That word abomination means that something that God hates. He'll have no regard for it if we do not listen to the word of God. In Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The great writer, the author of that great book, in Psalm, the 66th chapter and verse 18. Well, we need to remember that warning of Jesus in Luke 18 and 1, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We ought to be men and women of prayer and pray just more than the Lord's Prayer, or more than the prayer we prayed when he was a child. I remember my mother, before we ever went to bed at night, we always prayed that child's prayer. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray, dear Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray, dear Lord, my soul to take, and so forth. And I learned to pray when I was just a little fella growing up. We never thought about going to bed without having prayer. And then in the morning, we might not get down and have a prayer down on our knees. Sometime we did. But we always had prayer around the breakfast table. Yes, sir. It wasn't no little short prayers. God bless this food and forgive our many sins. In Jesus' name, amen. I hear people pray that, and it's plumb disgusting. We got to have more prayer life than that, and it's got to be more effective than that. And I hope we'll get to where our prayers will be prayers that will disturb people in their sins, that God will move on their hearts and convict them, and our families, they'll be under conviction. You know, there's old gal about 200 years ago or better, named Bloody Mary, they called her. Mary, Queen of Scots. She was Queen of Scotland a couple, over two centuries ago. And John Knox was a great reformer. He was the founder of the Presbyterian Church back in that day. And old Bloody Mary, she made the statement about this man that was holy and sanctified and a praying man. She once exclaimed, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than I fear the armies of England. Now, I tell you, that's a great prayer life, isn't it? Well, I read a plaque not long ago that said, the devil trembles when he sees the least of Christ's disciple, his son or daughter, on his knees. When the Lord sees one of his least saints or his least disciples on their knees making intercession, the Bible says the devil trembles. He's watching you. And he trembles, and the Bible said the Lord is pleased with it. Yes, he is. He's very pleased when he sees us on our knees. But there's one thing most Christians forget, and that is that there's some fasting and prayer to go along with our receiving something that is mountainous, something big, something imposing, something that's great, something it takes a mighty work of the Holy Ghost to perfect or implement in our life. In the 10th chapter of Acts, the scripture begins in verse 1 and says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. In other words, he was an officer in the Roman army, but he was a devout man. He feared God with all his house and gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always, prayed always. And he saw in a vision an angel coming to him and saying, Cornelius. And he looked up and he said, what is it, Lord? He said, your prayers and alms are heard and have made a memorial before God. Now you send down to Joppa for one Simon, and who's named Peter, and he'll come and tell you words whereby you and all your house will be saved. He'll tell you words from the Lord that will bring your whole family into the family of God. They will be saved. All right, what was Cornelius doing? Verse 30, Acts the 10th chapter. When Simon Peter, the great apostle, came by the direction of an angel that dealt with him also, here's what Cornelius told him. 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. See, he was fasting, but it also said he was praying. He was praying with fasting.